brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's show. And now, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stobler.
Welcome, everybody, to this gorgeous Wednesday night. Jack Stobler here on Insight. I'm without my sidekick, Rocker, but I've got four guys that are very ably taking Rocker's place, and they're four of the five candidates that are running for the Board of Education. And we have Mr. Jerry Byram. Hello, Jerry. And Mr. Mike Ruby. And the first two guys on the hot seat first are Mr. Jake Knapke.
Hey, Jack.
And Mr. Don Wendell.
Hey, Jack.
So, I tell you what, I was you wanting to do this because I think the Board of Education seats are really, really important when it comes to not only the development of our kids, but the development of our community, you know. And, you know, as I was driving up here, I saw Wes colleague and the girl that he's married to, I think it was a Schmucker's girl, yep. I think, couple of young professionals, and they had their, you know, little toddler, and I'm thinking he moved back into town because it's a great place to raise kids, you know. And so, you know, we're going to talk about like your guys's background and what possessed you to decide to run for the Board of Education. But before we jump into that, I want to give a shout out. I believe Mr. Les Johnson is listening tonight, and I know Les is going to be undergoing some treatments here in the next week or so. Les, we love you. Take care of yourself. The whole community of Fort Recovery is rooting you on, and we can't wait for you to get better and get back at those basketball games. So we're definitely thinking and praying for you. So hang in there, fella. So Neil, should we take a real quick break and then
we can do it however you want,
and we'll start with Don and Jake right after this.
Hello, I'm Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and see us on Friday and Saturday nights for our great dinner specials. You can get all-you-can-eat roasted chicken dinner for only $6.95, or you can try our 12-ounce New York strip steak dinner for only $12.95. And you can add a little zest and try your steak blackened. Both dinner specials come with jumbo baked potato and our large salad bar. We invite you to stop in at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery for a New York strip steak or all-you-can-eat chicken dinners on Friday and Saturday nights from 5 to 9 p.m.
At Cooper Farms, we know we would not be where we are today without the hard work and dedication from our team members for the last 80 years. That's why we partnered with Activate Healthcare and made their health and well-being our top priority. All team members enrolled in the Cooper Farms Health Insurance Plan have access to our three Activate Health Center locations. There are no co-pays, free lab work, and many prescriptions are free. To take advantage of this, as well as other great benefits, visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Did you know the most stable skid steer on earth is now even more powerful? The L234 Super Boom Skid Steer Loader from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery offers 90 horsepower with increased hydraulics, breakout force, lift capacity, and comfort. You get the superior visibility, stability, and easy maintenance you expect from New Holland. Stop by K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery today to learn more about the high-performance New Holland L234 Skid Steer Loader.
In honor of Veterans Day, 10 Snips will be giving free haircuts to all veterans and current military personnel on Tuesday, November 12th. Walk-ins from 8 to 11 a.m., appointments after 11 a.m. Call Kenny 10 at 375-2872 for your appointment. Free haircuts for all veterans and current military personnel, November 12th, sponsored by 10 Snips and the Sons of the American Legion, Post 345. The Fort Recovery Local Schools will be hosting a Veterans Day and Senior Citizens program on Monday, November 11th in the Elementary Middle School Auditoria. Breakfast will be served at 9 a.m., followed by a program featuring Lieutenant Colonel Karen Kramer, Public Health Flight Commander at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. There will also be a brief performance by the middle school choir, and some of the 8th grade students will read their essays on Washington, D.C. All veterans, senior citizens, and their spouses are welcome to attend this event. Please call the elementary school office at 375-2815 by Friday, November 1st, and make your reservation so they'll know how many people to plan for. If you know some local veterans and senior citizens, be sure to let them know about the Veterans Day and Senior Citizens program at the elementary school auditoria on Monday, November 11th, with breakfast at 9 a.m.
We're back. Jack Stogler, an insight, and we're talking to four candidates for our local board of education that we'll going to be voting on here the first part of November. So let's start with getting to know you type thing. So Don, we'll start with you. Tell us a bit about yourself as far as occupation, family.
Well, I'm 43 years old. Been married to my wife Brenda for nearly 20 years. Surprisingly, she put up with me that long. I've got two children. Hope's a junior in high school here at the Fort, and I've got Faith, who's a freshman. Went to school here at Fort Recovery. Lived here my entire life. After high school, went to Wright State. Got a bachelor's degree in business with a major in financial services. And I'm currently working for Cooper Farms as the distribution manager over at the St. Henry Processing Plant.
Fantastic. You go to Wright State Lake Campus or the main campus?
I went to the lake for 2 years and then finished out the main campus.
Very good. Jake, what about you, fella?
Hey, thanks, Jack, for having me tonight. I guess first I'll speak about my family. I'm married to my wife, Sam. Been married for 5 years. I got a 4-year-old Lane, a 2-year-old Willie, and a 2-month-old JoJo. We just had a little girl, which is a little different than having two boys at home, that's for sure. Went to school at Fort Recovery, graduated in 2005. My wife did too. Been at Fort Recovery my whole life. Lived out a couple miles outside of town. Went to TriStar for machine trades. From there, now I am currently the supervisor at JR Manufacturing, the weld side of the East Plant.
And how long you been at JR?
Ooh, going 14 years.
No kidding.
Yep.
It just amazes me when I think of these guys that are kids and they've, you know, they graduated 20 years ago or they've been at a place 14 years. So, Jake, what possessed you? What made you decide to run for the Board of Education?
Well, Jack, I think the big thing is I have kids coming up through the school system, right? So I got three kids now that are coming up through it. You know, kind of joke about it a couple years ago. We kind of laugh about a couple things, and somebody says, "Well, why don't you run for school board?" And I was kind of like, "No, that's not Jake. That's not what I do." And then the more I thought about it, I thought, well, "Why not? Let's give it a try." So, kind of thought about it for the last year or so, and finally decided to stop over at the Board of Election and got the paperwork and kind of sat on that for, I don't know, a month or so. Kind of like, yes, no, yes, no. And I decided, why not? So, you know, I got kids coming through the system, so I'd like to get involved and see what it's all about.
So, before you decided to run, did you talk to anybody about what it takes, the time commitment that?
Sure. I called a couple of the guys on the board now currently and kind of spoke with them, got a little bit of details about it, and talked to a guy or two that was previously on the Board of Education about some things, and kind of decided, why not? Let's give it a try.
Very good. Donnie, what about you?
You know, I would say it's a sense of duty and a sense to the community. I realize it's a tough job sometimes, and it's hard to get good people to apply to be in the school board. I had a few people ask me in the past, "Hey, why don't you run for this? We really need some good people in there." And timing just wasn't right. Job commitments and family just simply didn't have the time. Getting to a point now in my life where I've got a little more flexibility and feel like it's time to give back to the institution that provided my educational foundation.
So as you you thought about the giving back part, what was it the Board of Education versus the town council?
Well, I guess one, you know the guys in the town council. Who wants to work with my brother?
That's true. That's true.
No, I think with the school board, not only are you affecting the lives of all the kids today, but kids for decades to come with the policies you set. So I think it's a pretty important thing in this community.
Plus, look at all the money you'll make.
That's a good one, Jack.
That is a good one, isn't it?
Let's just say our school doesn't spend frivolously on our school board members.
Our budget up at the school doesn't wax or wane based off of the payment of the of our board members.
Nope. Could buy a candy bar, maybe. But
yeah. So when like you each think about and Donna, I'll let you answer this first. So when you think about what skills or what talents do you bring to the Board of Education that is you going to add value to it?
I think, one, I've been in this community my entire life. I feel like I know a lot of people. You kind of get to know the heartbeat of the community, and I think that's a big part of the job. The board really needs to reflect the community's interest somewhat in how the school systems run. So I think that's pretty vital for a school board member to be in tune with the area. In addition to that, I just think my overall job history over the years, whether it be working in transportation, doing a lot of customer service, to now running a warehouse, kind of developed the soft skills to get along with people and to hopefully get the job done.
Good. Jake, what about you?
Jack, my main goal is I think we might have not an issue, but it's tough for the younger kids, I shouldn't say kids, younger adults that, mid-20s through 30s that don't get involved with things like this. I think we need to get a little bit of a younger voice in there once in a while, to throw their opinions out on things. And that's kind of what I'm hoping to bring to the table is get the younger generation to maybe speak up about things, to bring to the board members or the community and see if we can get that opinion in there a little bit.
Good. Good. So I tell you what, and you, Mike, you've been on the board for 4 years now, right, Mike? Is you going to tell you that at least first couple years, and probably you more than that, is an eye-opening experience, So as you go into this, I know there's things that you want to do, but what would you like to learn from being on the board Board of Education? And Jake, I'll let you go.
Sure, Jack. I would say that 75-80% of the people probably have no clue how school operates, and most of us in here probably like. So, it'll be interesting seeing how everything kind of runs together, and you got good teams and good people, which we seem to have good people in the administration now that's getting things going in the right direction and keeping things in the right direction, and just to listen and learn and give, the best advice we can, because this is an elected job. So kind of, one, what's best for the kids, and two, to try to get the community back involved with things again.
Good. Donnie?
I would have to agree with Jake, really to see what's happening on the back end. I know a lot of times people are quick to judge, why did the board do this? Why did the administration do that? Sometimes you don't have all the facts, and you can't disagree with it unless you're involved. And not that I disagree necessarily, but I feel like it's time to become involved and be a part of that.
And each of you in your past answers touched on being a voice for the community and that type of thing. So, what do you do? Okay, each of you are you individuals. You have your own thoughts. You have one vote on the board. Okay, what happens when your opinion, your thoughts differs from the majority of the people out there? So do you cast it based off of Jake or Don, or do you cast it based off of the people that elected you? And Donnie, I'll let you answer first.
Well, I feel like you got to keep an open mind, and ultimately the board is the voice of the community. Whether you agree with it or not, you have to take that with a grain of salt there. you can certainly have an opinion. You can explain your opinion, but if it all boils down to what do the people believe in and what do you feel is right for the board.
Jake? I'm kind of in the same boat as Donnie there, Jack. You know, this is an elected job, so hopefully the people of the community vote you in, and you got to take, you know, you have to have your own thoughts on things, but you also have to have an open mind about everything. If you come in with an agenda, you're in trouble. You know, it just don't work that way. So we got to take into consideration all facts and get to know everything. And like I said, this is an elected job. So, you know, the voice of the people and what's best for the kids is the route you have to go.
Jack, I have a thing about that maybe when Mike Gruby's turn, he can maybe add to this. I think about this a lot over the last 50 years, and, you know, do you do what you think might be right, or do you do what your constituents think is right? And my answer varies from time to time, but what I think happens a lot of times, especially with personnel matters where they can't put everything out there, sometimes that elected official knows more, almost always knows more than the public, and sometimes they know more than the public is allowed to know. So you kind of have to elect somebody you trust to make that decision. That's my thought this time. Now, ask me next week, and I'm going to say you have to do whatever your constituents say, but I know that there's sometimes when that elected official has information that either you don't know or you're not allowed to know because of privacy and certain things, certain rules. So that's something you have to kind of take into consideration. But yeah, like these guys say, you want to represent the people, but just because you know something they don't know, you might not do exactly what they want you to do because you just can't. So yeah, sorry I interrupted.
That's all right. So you know, part of being on any board, you know, is, you know, you get one vote out of five. Okay. And there's kind of an understanding that if the vote is 4-1 or 3-2, that's the decision of the board. Okay. Can you guys live with the fact that you have to go out there and say the board decided and not those other three yahoos decided? Okay, so how do you handle that, Donnie?
Oh, I think you just have to support it. I mean, whether you fully believe it or not, that was the board vote. You may have an opinion, but you need to keep that opinion to yourself at that point. Once the board has voted, you've got to support it.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Board of Education, that's a team, right? So whatever the team decides, you know, there's a lot of things in life in general where you work as a team and you don't necessarily agree with the team, but you have to go with what you go with. So I think, you know, you have to be a team player on things, and whatever it goes with, you have to stand behind it.
Very good. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break here and come back and talk about some things such as homework and extracurriculars and all kinds of things that you board members get their ears chewed on. So we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Boar's Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Vores, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Vores Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Vores Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
You say you're hungry? Call Miracle Lanes and avoid the work and hassle of fixing it yourself. 375-4274 is the number you want to call for subs, salads, great sandwiches and sides, and of course their awesome pizza. And don't forget about their pizza wing and salad buffet every Friday at lunch. Do you have a birthday party or other get-together coming up? Give them a call and reserve your lanes now. Miracle Lanes, great food, lots of fun. 375-4274.
Cooper Farms will be hosting its 13th annual Turkey Trot 5K on November 2nd, 2019 at 10 a.m. with all proceeds benefiting State of the Heart Care. Kick off your November with a cool morning run or walk with hundreds of your closest friends. Water and refreshments, including a turkey meal, will be provided to all participants after the race, along with door prizes announced throughout the event. To register and find additional race information, visit cooperfarms.com and click the sign-up banner at the top of the page.
Here are the Fort Recovery Varsity Sports coming up later this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tuesday night, our Lady Indians won their district semifinal match over LCC in three hard-fought sets. They'll now play the St. Henry Redskins tomorrow night in the district final at 6 o'clock at Kaleida. On Friday, Indians football will host the Marion Local Flyers, and it'll be senior night for football, band, and cheerleaders. We'll bring you the pregame show around 6:40. Big games this week for our Indians teams. Get to Kaleida tomorrow night to cheer on Our Lady Indians in their district final match against St. Henry and make plans to get to senior night on Friday as we host Marion Local. But if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. How exciting is that volleyball game going to be tomorrow night?
Well, hopefully very exciting.
Holy moly. That's a type of game you want to play, you know. District finals, probably against, you know, one of the two or three best teams in the state, and we're probably one of the two or three best teams in the state, too. So that
especially now that we have Olivia Patch back and Paige Judy at 100%, because the three games we lost were when they were not playing, or Paige was playing one, but she didn't hit anything hard.
Yeah,
because she was just recovering. But I'm not afraid of them.
Yeah,
and, but you know, we get past them, we've got every team is going to be really good from here on out.
Yeah.
So, but we played very well Tuesday or Monday night. That shouldn't be a Monday night game.
For that is fun
any
stuff.
High school stuff.
They are fun to watch, I'll tell you. So. So let's touch on like a few number of different topics here, and just, you know, these are topics that in the past has created some stir amongst the community. So I'll just kind of get your thoughts on them. Homework, Jake.
What's that, Jack? Homework, in my opinion, you have to have some, but I think it almost kind of depends on the kid, the child, and what class they're in. You know, if you're going into your college prep classes and stuff like that, I think you almost have to expect to have a little bit more to prepare yourself for it, right? We don't want a shell shock when we send our kids off to college with all of a sudden, oh no, I never did this. So, you know, I think that there's different... I'm not going to say student, but each class should be a little bit different on it. You know, I think you got to have a little bit to keep everybody keep going in the right direction on that side of it.
Donnie.
Boy, it pains me. I have to agree with Jake once again. I would agree. I mean, that, you know, homework, as much as I hate it as a student, you know, it is a needed thing. We need to challenge the students. But, yeah, we have to be aware of how much we're piling on. I know watching my sophomore last year. You know, we had been warned sophomore year is tough, and it was. I mean, I watched a kid that never did homework doing 2 and 3 hours a night. So I feel like we need to be aware of that as a district too, that we don't overdo it, but yet we need to challenge students.
So as parents, and Don's past this stage, Jake isn't there yet, you know, when you have that, you know, first and second grader, and there's, you know, homework that's being brought home, and they're crying through it, and you know, there's papers to do, at what, you know, when your kids get home from school, and you know, let's talk first grade through third grade, how much should be expected of them as far as the amount of time spent on homework?
At that young age?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to say a little bit, but nothing that's going to get them flustered where, you know, at that young age, where if you get flustered with homework already, you know, you might have a long school career. You know, if we can keep them interacting, make it fun, keep things going, you know, reading a little bit, you know, stuff like that. But I think if you get them concerned already at that young an age and they're disliking it already, it's going to cause trouble down the road.
Donnie?
I would say at that young age, you know, they're already sitting in a classroom for 5 to 6.5 hours a day. Sometimes those young minds can only handle so much. And a lot of homework at night is actually going to be more tough on the parents than it is the kids sometimes. We all lead busy lives, and you know, how much is too much at that point with a child that age?
Probably, and I'll ask Mike this when he gets on, Mike. But if there's one topic that school boards probably hear most about, it's the extra. Curricular stuff. Okay. So talk a little bit about their place in school and the emphasis or overemphasis that it currently has at Fort Recovery. Donnie, I'll let you go first.
You're speaking of sports when you talk extracurricular? Or?
Sports, band, music.
FFA.
Yep.
German club, any of that thing.
You know, I think the focus is great. I mean, a lot of those programs do very good. They teach the kids a lot of valuable lessons. Are we over the top a little bit sometimes when it comes to our sporting events? More than likely, yes. But you look at any community around that doesn't have that community involvement, and you'll find those teams don't do as well. The participation in any event is nearly what it is around here. So I think the fact that we are maybe overemphasized at times is a good thing. It shows those kids that we care, and the community cares.
Jake?
One of my goals would be to try to get every student involved in something like that. I think it's a great thing if you can get involved in, you know, that's more of a team thing, you know, a team building, where usually your extracurriculars is about building, getting to know things, and it's part of the school, but it's outside the school where it's still kind of enjoyable and things like that. You know, like Donnie said, if you sit in sporting events, yeah, you know, there's some crazy fans out there, but you go to any small school around here, and that's way everybody's around here. And you know, you look back at when we went to state in football, right? So the whole town just absolutely comes together when you can get a big event like that, and there's nothing neater than seeing the whole town come together on it. So it is great. You know, the extracurricular stuff's great. Sports, FFA, band, choir, if you could have every kid to get involved with that, I think it'd be wonderful.
Very good. So you know, one of the bones of contention with you know, some people are the number of staff members, maybe it's teachers, maybe it's administration, who doesn't live in Fort Recovery. Okay. What's your thoughts on key leaders not living in Fort Recovery or teachers not living in Fort Recovery? And I think Don went first last time.
Sure. So, you know, we have a lot of teachers in our school system, right? So I think that it would be tough to make everybody live in the community teacher-wise. I think it's great if they come this way, they get involved with things. Administration, I'm not saying you necessarily have to live in the community, but you need to be very involved with a lot of things. You know, we have a couple of administration right now that don't live in the community, and you don't see them. They don't miss things, whether you're talking a sporting event, whether you're talking board meetings, whether you're talking anything along that lines, and they're here just as much. You know, I would really, I think we'd like to see them live in the community from my personal view of things. You know, the more you're in the community, the better. And not just school related. You're talking jubilees, 225s, you know, things like that where they need to get involved in community things and show their faces. You know, I think they need to get out and have the conversation with people. You know, I think that'd be a great thing.
Very good. Donnie?
I would love to see all employees of the school system live in Fort Montgomery, Ohio. I think it's a great community, and I wish everybody could be in this community. But I think we have to be realistic, too, that if we want to attract the top talent, we can't limit ourselves that closely. Not to mention the fact that we wouldn't have enough housing for every employee in this school
That's
district.
True.
So, yeah, I would definitely love to see them live in the community, but I don't think we need to mandate that. As far as the upper administration, I would love to see that happen. I feel the more they're involved, the better off we are. I think the community recognizes that. The students see that, and the more involved they are with any of those events, even if they're not living in town, that's a great thing. And I think that the community feeds off of that.
Yeah, something I want to throw in there, Jack, is with especially teachers, administration might be a little different, but teachers, I don't think you can require them to do that, because I can think of a couple of teachers that we have whose spouse is also a teacher at a different school, and if both of them if both schools require that, one or the other of them has to lose their job. And I don't think we want to do that. I think we want to encourage it, and it's a great idea, but I don't think, you know, most of them are married. Their spouse may have a job with another. What a lot of the villages and cities require is that person lives in the city, because that city is paying them, and they want to get that tax money back from that person, so they require them to live there. And if your spouse is let's say the village administrator somewhere, you can't teach in another school district because you would have to live there too. So it's a great idea. All of that, I encourage that, but I don't think we can demand that, because we would lose some very good teachers right now, and we would miss out on some other ones. But
and you're not even running.
I'm sitting. Just because I have good opinions doesn't mean I'm the only person or anything like that. And you might not even care about my opinions. But I got the soundboard, so I get to throw me.
I know. You have complete control. So there's been an emphasis in there, you know, at least locally on like the TriStar school and not pushing kids towards trades, but it's definitely much more, there's a much greater awareness level now than what there was 5 years ago. Okay. What's your thoughts on preparing kids for college, preparing kids for trade school?
You know, I feel like college is a great thing, but I think in the past sometimes we've pushed it a little bit too hard. We've got students that aren't college material. They're going to college because their parents said they wanted to, should go to college. Those kids make great machinists. They make a great mechanic. We need those people in our economy as well, and those people can do really, really well for themselves in this area right now. So I don't feel like we need to push college all the time. It's not right for every student, and we need to tailor that towards our students a little more.
Yeah, Jack, I'm a big supporter of the trade school side of things. You know, I went there myself. I think it's great if we could get every student to get some kind of post-education. If we can get them into college, I think that's wonderful. Like Donnie says, it doesn't work for everybody. And you're seeing a lot of kids now coming out of college that are got teaching degrees that can't find jobs. So they're working the same jobs as everybody else, and it's just not panning out that well for them. You know, I think we push for college. Absolutely. We try to get every student involved in something like that. You know, what's amazing about, like, your TriStars and your stuff like that is you can come out of school and have a degree slash paper that says what you're in, and there's a lot of jobs around here that can't find people now, and they're making some dang good money for living around here. You can have a pretty good life living around here with you know, doing jobs that's open around here right now, and we can't find employees now. So
and then not be $50,000 or $60,000 in debt,
right, and spend the next 15 years paying it off.
Yeah. So last question for you guys. Okay. What is your definition of a great school system?
Sure. Mine is, I think, the school side of it comes first on everything. You know, we want to have the top students, not in the state, you know, nationally, right? I mean, we want kids that are top notch and all around good kids. You know, we have that living in a small school like this that we live in now. I think if we could get reading, writing, and arithmetic pounded through every student's head, we'd be a great school system. You know, like I said, the extracurricular, them are all pluses for us, and I'd love to see every student involved with that. But I think the big thing right now is we've maybe had the public and the school board has maybe not seen eye to eye very well the last couple years, it seems like. So I think my goal is to try to get everybody back on board together. You know, we need to go into this as one, and you know, if our community members are our kids have ears and they hear what everybody says, you know, so if we can get everybody back on board, we're gonna have a dang good school system. And I'd like to also make a comment about the past administration. You drive by our schools, you will not find a prettier school around. It doesn't matter what time of the year, you know, it is just, they did a tremendous job. You know, when you drive through downtown Fort Recovery, you drive by the high school, and if you drive by there and it does not look top notch, I've never seen it. It's just, so that is a big shout out to our past administration.
Yep. Good deal. Donnie.
My definition of a great school system.
Yep.
I would say four words: Fort Recovery Local Schools. You know, I think we've got it going on here. We've got a good staff. We've got a good board. And we've got a great community. And I think we just need to keep improving on that.
Very good. Well, guys, I tell you what. It was a quick half hour, 35 minutes, whatever we have been on here. And you know, one great thing is when you have three open seats and you've got five high-quality people that are running for them, that's a win-win, you know. And it's, you know, not easy to put your name on that ballot, and then on election night, you have to go through that little popularity contest. And it's, you know, it isn't fun, but I appreciate, you know, you guys coming up, sharing your thoughts. I wish you both the best. I really think it's going to be an interesting election night. So, Neil, anything to add with these two?
Nope, I think I'm through jabbering.
So, I tell you what, you wish you two luck. And we're going to take a little break. We're going to come back with Mike and Jerry right after this.
Choosing the right insurance plan is as important as choosing the right insurance agency. And Fort Recovery Insurance Agency is the right choice for you. We'll bring you inside our fort to protect you and help you recover when you've had a loss. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency will help find the right Ohio Mutual plan for your needs. Start in the right place so you end up in the right place, where we've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call us at 888-375-4181.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer. Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible. Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling. Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4858.
It's starting to get cooler. That means it's chili time, and Wayne Street Market has all you need for your special recipe. Most everything you'll need is all in one place, back by the meat counter. They have always saved tomato juice for just $1.45. Rotel diced tomatoes with green chilies is only $1.19 a can. Always save saltines are just $1.19 for the one-pound box. And don't forget the cheese. All varieties of Yoder shredded cheese are just $1.79. You want to get their 80% lean ground chuck for just $3.49 a pound. Or if you're making a large batch, you can get their 10-pound roll for just $2.99 a pound. And for that large batch, the giant 6-pound can of kidney beans is only $8.99, and the 3-pound bag of yellow onions is $2.49. Everything you'll need for your family's favorite chili recipe is right there at Wayne Street Market. Great selection and great prices at Wayne Street Market, your fall food headquarters. Halloween festivities in Fort Recovery will be held this Sunday, October 27th. The traditional Halloween parade will start at the high school commons at 3:15, start lining up at 3, and it'll end at Van Trees Park, where the costume judging will start at 3:30. There will be prizes for the funniest, the cutest, the scariest, or the ugliest, and the best family group and the best TV or movie character. Then it's trick-or-treat time from 4 to 6. Residents, please turn on your porch light if you want the trick-or-treaters to stop. And trick-or-treaters, please only stop at the houses with their porch lights on. This Sunday, October 27th, Halloween fun in Fort Recovery. Parade starting at the high school commons at 3:15. Costume judging at Van Trees Park at 3:30. Trick-or-treat from 4 to 6. Election Day is coming up on Tuesday, November 5th. And once again, the Trinity Lutheran Church will be having their all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper. They'll be serving from 4 to 7 p.m., and carryouts will be available. The meal includes spaghetti, breadsticks, salad, dessert, and drinks. You can just stop by for your all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper, or you can get tickets ahead of time from any Trinity Lutheran Church member or at Fort Fitness. Tickets are only $6, and for kids 10 and under, tickets are only $5, and all proceeds will go to their local Friends in Need Fund. So don't miss the Trinity Lutheran's annual Election Day all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper from 4 to 7 on Tuesday, November 5th.
We're back inside Jack Stogler, and our next two guests, incumbent Mr. Mike Ruby. Hello, Mike.
I say Jack.
And new candidate, Jerry Byram. Hello, Jerry.
Hi.
So, we're going to kind of follow the same guidelines that we went with you, Jake, and Don. So let's start by telling a little bit about yourself, your family, job, education. So, Jerry, we'll start with you.
53, married to Carol. I have two kids. Adam is a sophomore in college, and Ashley is a senior, and I drive truck for a living.
Oh, good. So Ashley's graduating this year?
Yes.
Empty nest syndrome.
Yes.
All right. Fun stuff there. Mike.
Yeah, I've married to my wife, Vicki, for 42 years. We've got three kids and 11 grandkids. I'm 64 years old. My oldest daughter is Shelley Overman. She has four kids. Second daughter is Holly. She has four. And my son Tyler, he has three and one on the way. And 10 of them grandkids are in the Fort Recovery school system.
Oh, cool.
And I worked at J&M for 10 years, Huffy's for 13, and I retired from Honda. I had 16 years in there, all on the factory floor.
Very good. So,
Mike, am I remembering correctly that your son Tyler won one of the mayor's prizes for Christmas decorations last year?
He lives out at St. Joe.
Oh, okay. So that wasn't yeah. him. So, okay. I was thinking maybe that was him. Nope. Sorry.
It's fine.
So, Jerry, as a new candidate, and you're youngest daughter is getting ready to graduate. What possessed you to decide to run for the Board of Education?
Like Jake said, I just want to give a little back. I moved in the community about 18 years ago. I think I actually was like 6 months old. Both my kids went to school here, and I just want to give a little back.
Very good. So, Mike, you've already, fought through four years of it. What makes you decide to run again?
Some unfinished business, and years ago, when I originally ran for school board, back when I worked at J&M, I worked with for Morris Griesup, and he was on the school board at that time. And he said, "Mike, you got to get on the school board." And I said, "I ain't got time. I'm really not interested." But I said, "Someday I will." And Morris was always extremely good to me, and just kind of trying to keep my word to Morris because he's a good guy. And I just feel, I've got the time now that I'm retired, and I've got 10 grandkids in the school system. So,
And this is probably true of you, both of you guys. When you don't have kids in school, how do you stay connected?
I stay connected through my grandkids, other than being on the school board now. Like, I talk to my grandkids a lot, whether it's sports, whether it's grades, what teachers do or don't do. You can get a lot out of your grandkids. When you got that many of them in the school system spread out, you find out a lot. That's how I stay connected. And, some of it, that you got to say, "Now, who told you this? Where did this come from?" You got to explain to them. Rumors don't mean it's true. But, it's good. It's kind of neat because you're connected. I think it helps with the grandkids because you stay connected. You see what they're going through and what they're doing. And it's kind of neat.
Jerry, what about you?
I help do stats for the football team, and I just like watching the boys play. Same with basketball. And Ashley's been in the band, so I've watched that. And with her being gone, I'm just going to need something to do.
Like I asked Don and Jake, there's no doubt that it's going to be a huge learning experience. What do you hope to learn from it?
I'm just going in with an open mind. I have no idea I've talked to a couple guys, but I have no idea what I'm going to get into. And I just hope I can help.
When you think about your strengths and your skills, how do you think you can contribute to the Board of Education?
I'm going in with an open mind, and I'm 53, so I've got a little experience, and I didn't go to college, but I've got a lot of life experience, and we're just doing what is best for the kids.
Good. Mike?
You learn a lot on the school board. I think, number one, it's what's best for the kids. It don't matter if you're popular or if you're going to upset people. You look through everything. You look at the facts, and you make a decision. It took me 2 years just to kind of get the feel of things. I don't know about you when you was on the board. And, now in my fourth year, I feel relatively comfortable, but I'm still learning. You can't do that. Like Neil touched on, we discuss a lot of stuff, executive session, it puts you in a bad spot, but that's the law.
Yeah. So when you look back at your first 4 years, what was what did you learn most?
The laws. I mean, like executive session, there's a lot of stuff discussed in executive session, and that's where you learn a lot of the facts, and the public, they don't they don't know the facts because you can't tell them the facts, and that's a very hard position to put the board members in. Okay. But, you know, that's just the way it is. You accept it and you go on and just take, you know, that's what I learned the most.
As you think about advice that you'd want to give to the other guys running on the board, what would it be?
If you're going to make a comment about someone on the school board or administration, do it face to face. Don't go to Twitter. Be man enough, man up. If you got a problem with me, come to me and we'll discuss it. That would be my advice.
Yep.
You know.
Very good. So, we talked a little bit about, you know, I asked Jake and Don this. As a board member, you have one vote, okay? And you have your belief, but from the feeling that you're getting from the community, their beliefs are different. Okay, so do you vote Mike Ruby's way or you Jerry's way, or do you vote the way that from what you hear is the way that the community would want you to? Jerry, I'll let you answer that first.
I think you've got to vote what's best for the students and what's best for the school. It doesn't matter what I think or the community. You got to do what's best for the kids. I mean, it may not fit both, you know, you might not make people happy, but that's what you're going to have to do.
Yep. Very good. Mike?
I guess I would sum that up as I never considered myself a yes man, but when I do vote no, it's based on facts. Them facts I consider, and that's what guides my decision. And ultimately, it's the decision that's best for the kids. It's probably not the most popular thing, and it might cost you votes, but it is what it is. It's about the district, and it's about the kids.
So as like, and Mike, I'll turn it back to you. You'd mentioned earlier that part of the reason that you were running is unfinished business.
Yes.
Which is what?
And I had a small part in this, maybe. You know, back when 4 years ago, our district didn't rate very high on the state testing. This last year, we tested out a B. Our goal is to become an A-rated school district. I think the past administration and current administration, the teachers and the students, there's a lot of good people did a lot of hard work to get us from where we were to a B-rated district. And the goal was this whole time to get us to an A-rated district. Still, you know, getting from like D to B, it's hard, but it can be done. But getting from B to A is even going to be tougher.
Yeah.
We've got some areas that need work. We've got to address them areas, and we got to fix them areas in order to become an A district. That's my main goal, is to become an A-rated district.
Very good. I tell you what, we're going to take one more break, and we're going to come back and, you know, touch on some of those topics that we you touched on earlier, and we'll be back right after this.
For
Tyler's Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Vores, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Vores Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Vores Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
At Cooper Farms, we're building a culture that makes us more than a workplace. We believe that producing quality products, giving back to our communities, and taking care of our team members are all part of our foundation as a company. We want to see our team members succeed, and that's why we pride ourselves on promoting from within the company. We believe giving our team members all the tools necessary to grow with us is what will keep our tradition moving forward. To join the Cooper Farms family and experience a culture like no other, visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and see us on Friday and Saturday nights for our great dinner specials. You can get all-you-can-eat roasted chicken dinner for only $6.95, or you can try our 12-ounce New York strip steak dinner for only $12.95, and you can add a little zest and try your steak blackened. Both dinner specials come with jumbo baked potato and our large salad bar. We invite you to stop in at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery for our New York strip steak or all-you-can-eat chicken dinners on Friday and Saturday nights from 5 to 9 p.m.
Miracle Lanes is sponsoring a fun event to benefit the high school bowling teams. It's a Scotch Doubles 3-game tournament on Friday, November 22nd, starting at 7 p.m. Scotch Doubles is a really fun 2-person tournament where a bowler throws the first ball and their partner picks up the spare. You switch the order when the first bowler throws a strike, and it's a progressive no-tap tournament with the first game regular bowling, then the second game is 9-pin no-tap, and the third game is 8-pin no-tap. The Scotch Doubles tournament is just $30 per 2-person team, or you can just rent a lane for up to 8 bowlers for $100. There will be a bowling ball raffle, door prizes, and prizes for top score. Here's a chance to try something different and help the high school bowling teams raise some money. To reserve your spot, call or text 419-852-9962 or 513-307-9540. Get a partner and sign up now for the Scotch Doubles Tournament on Friday evening, November 22nd at Miracle Lanes. The Fort Recovery Public Library will host a presentation on monarch butterflies on Tuesday, October 29th at 6 p.m. The presentation will feature Mandy Martin, a naturalist for the Dart County Parks, and will help us understand these important pollinators. It's open to adults and children accompanied by adults. So stop by your library on Tuesday, October 29th at 6 o'clock to learn more about monarch butterflies and why they're such beneficial insects.
Official. We're back. You cut off the beneficial.
Yeah. Beneficial insects is what I said. Uh-huh. But I didn't leave enough little tail at the end of the recording, so I have to fix that. I'd like to apologize to the library.
And to the butterflies.
And the butterflies. Butterflies aren't listening, but the library probably is.
The library might be. So, we're back on Insight, and we're speaking with Jerry Byram and Mike Gruby, two more candidates for the Board of Education. And I do want to, you know, just make a comment that Ann Guggenbiller is out of town and could not make it. I'm planning on having Ann up here next week. We'll go over the same questions and give her the same opportunity. So,
are you going to be here next week? I was thinking you said you're going to be off next week.
Damn.
Out of town?
We'll have to talk about that, Neil. Yeah.
I can ask her those questions.
Okay.
That's not a problem.
But. Yeah. So let's talk about some of those topics that are kind of ongoing type things. Extracurricular activities. Mike, I'm guessing as a board member, you probably have, if like you get phone calls, there's probably more to do with the extras than there is with the actual classroom stuff.
Yeah, but honestly, I expected a lot more phone calls. Yeah. And I think part of that is because of the social media now as compared to, you know, picking up a phone and calling. Extra activity like that, basketball,
there again, I talked to my grandson this weekend, you know, about playing freshman ball. You know, they didn't know if he was going to have a coach and blah, blah, blah. And he says, well, what if I get a coach I don't like, you know? I said, what if you get a boss you don't like?
Yeah.
You know, you've got to learn. It's part of, I think it's, sports is one thing that teaches them how to fail. I mean, like I told him, I said, you can't be afraid to fail, because if you fail, if you're afraid to fail, you're never going to advance.
Yeah.
And sports is one area where it's really positive. Our FFA program is great. The band, I mean, our band director, he's turned that thing around the last 3 years. He's got that going in the right direction. It's good for the kids. It teaches kids to work with other people, even though you don't necessarily like them, other people, but you gotta, as a team, work with them, and that prepares them for later on in life.
Yep. Jerry?
Oh, I think Mike had it right on the nail. It's a team, and you got to work together, and I think that teaches the kids a whole lot. I know my boy's in college now, and he's playing football up there, and he's met some guys he's good friends with, and he'll keep those friendships forever. And, you know, and I know my nephew played ball, and, you know, after school or after he graduated from college, he's still some friends with some of those guys.
Yeah.
And I think that's great.
Yeah. You know, it is amazing too, you know, when you you just drive by the school any morning, and there's cars up there of kids that are weightlifting. You look out in the field, and the band has like a, you know, 7 a.m. practice, you know. When, like, I get out and interview kids for you jobs and things, you can tell the ones that are in FFA. You know, they're skilled. They're sharp. They express themselves well. So, and yet, how do you continue to emphasize that and not put the classroom? Because when, like, you stress those things, that the tendency is that the classroom teacher feels like they're less important. So how do you do that?
Well, it should never be an issue. It should be like grades is number one. I mean, the kids know that. I mean, if they ain't going to perform in the classroom, they're not going to be performing out in the field. You know, you got to keep your grades up there. Education, they got to understand that that's number one. But it's going to school is more. It's, you know, 90% education and 10% of learning to get along with people. I mean, and sports or FFA, being on committees or, you know, working in groups, it teaches them that. But, you know, they got to understand classroom. And our teachers, believe me, they don't let them forget what's the most important thing why they're in school. We got a great teaching staff, and they know, they let them kids know what's number one on that priority. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think that's part of the parents, too. They need to let the kids know that you're there for an education. The sports come second. And that's also some of our coaches. They need to, you know, if the kids aren't performing in the classroom, they need to step up, you know, and say something. And either not play or, you know, help them get a tutor. I know my boys, if they've got kids that are, he told me they've got kids that are not doing well, the coach will get them a tutor.
Yeah.
And I think that's great.
Yeah. You know, we touched a bit with Don and Jake about the importance or, you know, lack of importance or the emphasis on the administration, and we'll just focus on the administration, you know, living in the school district. So, you know, Jerry, what's your thoughts on that?
I'd like to see that. I'd like to see the, you know, the administration live here, but I know that sometimes that's not, you know, you're gonna, you know, if the, you know, husband works here and the wife works somewhere else, she work, if he, they were live here, she'd have 2-hour drive to work, or so they kind of have to split the difference. And I mean, I understand that, you know, it'd be nice, but I don't think that it's necessary, as long as they're fulfilling their duties, which I think, you know, I think our new superintendent is bought a house here in town. Now, I don't think the principal lives here, but I see him at all the events. So, he's showing his face, and I think the kids see that, yep. And so does the community.
Sure. Mike?
Yeah, I would agree. It'd be great if they live here, but in our last superintendent search, you know, you don't want to pigeonhole yourself. If you got two guys, say you got two finalists, and one is so-so, and he's willing to move to Fort Recovery, and this other one is outstanding, but he wants to stay living in Coldwater, you know, you're going to pick the best person for the job. It'd be great if he lives in Fort Recovery, but, you know, it's not always the case. You pick the best person for the job, and if they live in Fort Recovery, that's just icing on the cake. Fortunately, our superintendent now, he, you know, purchased a home and
in a great neighborhood.
Yeah. A great neighborhood.
Yeah, except for across the street.
Yeah. A little bit questionable there. I warned him, but he went ahead and did it anyway. You pick the best person for the job, because currently the requirements for our superintendent do not require them to live within the district or the principals or any.
Well, and it's, you know, like you said, you know, once you start putting restrictions on things like that, then you are making your pool more and more shallow. And, you want to, like you said, hire the best person possible.
Jack, do you want to check your text and see if your brother Bill has weighed in on this? Because that is something he is adamant about. He absolutely insists that any administrator has to live in the school district.
He has not.
Well, you better call somebody and have a welfare check on him, because he's crazy about that. Yeah. On the surface, that's an extremely good point. But as Mike said, and I think everybody else kind of alluded to, that can't be a disqualifying factor, but it can kind of add to, you know, if there's two of them that are pretty close and one of them is and one of them isn't, maybe you throw that in there. But they need to be out and about and be part of the community. And I think right now we've got a lot of that going on
with ones in and out
of the district.
The whole thing has changed so much over the past 15 years or so, that when you used to hire even teachers, some of that would be based off of, will they coach something? Will they be a drama teacher? Will they, will they be a bus driver? Will they do all of these extra things? And, you know, that's not quite as much in play as it was back then.
I don't think it's in, but from what I've seen in the last 4 years, how when you hire a teacher, you're hiring a teacher.
Yep.
I mean, it's not considered, you know, we're hiring a teaching staff, not a coaching staff.
Yeah.
And that's what was brought to the board within the last 3 years.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
You know, one other topic that we talked about was the emphasis on the trade schools and the TriStar versus preparing kids to go to college. Mike?
I'm a firm believer in that TriStar. I wish they would have had it when we was in school. Yeah. I might have took somewhat of an interest. That TriStar, they knocked that out of the park on that one. College, don't get me wrong, it's great. You know, there's college kids and there's kids are going to learn a trade, welding or whatever, machinist, and they're going to come out and, I mean, what's great about TriStar is, okay, I want to be a welder. You go over there 2 years, and you weld, you go to Crown part-time and weld, you think, man, this kind of sucks. I ain't doing this for the rest of my life. And they don't have to pay for it. You know, they're not out all that college money. That's what I think is neat about it. They get an opportunity to go over there, try it out. Like when we went to the open house, you know, about a month ago, went through the construction area, and the teacher said, yeah, I had a girl here. She was super, super sharp as far as education goes. She knew what was going on, and she's going to school to be a doctor. He says, if you're going to school to be a doctor, why on earth are you doing construction? Learning construction over here. She says, I got to pay for my own schooling. And when in my summer breaks, I want a good paying job. And that's in construction in the city. She said, that's why I'm learning this, so I can fund my doctor college bills and stuff. It's a great, great system over there.
That's pretty smart thinking.
That's what he said.
That's one I hadn't heard before. No. That's a great thing.
Yeah. That's what I was impressed. He said she was a very impressive lady.
Jerry, what about you?
I think there are college students and there are tech students. There are some students that will just go to work. Yeah. And, I mean, I didn't go to college. I kind of wish I would have. But, you know, it's hindsight's 20/20, you know. And I don't know that I'd, you know, I wasn't a top student, you know. I did all right, or, you know, so I don't know if I...
You're kind of like me and Mike.
I was definitely... I was
definitely
got a diploma. Yeah.
I got my diploma, and that was about it.
And had to look to see if it was signed.
I did look to see if mine was signed when I was on the stage.
In fact,
I opened it. Oh,
they threatened to hold mine, too. But I got her.
But, you know, and like that TriStar program, that is awesome. I mean, that new facility is great.
It's gorgeous, isn't it?
And my daughter goes over there for med prep, and she loves it.
Yeah. So, I tell you what, Neil, do we need to take one more break?
We don't have to, but we can. Or if you want to continue on, we don't need another one. But we can take one if you want to collect your thoughts.
Let's take one more break. Okay. We'll come back and ask these guys about your definition of a great school system, and then I'll ask for closing comments from all four of you guys. Okay. So we'll be back right after this.
Choosing the right insurance plan is as important as choosing the right insurance agency. And Fort Recovery Insurance Agency is the right choice for you. We'll bring you inside our fort to protect you and help you recover when you've had a loss. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency will help find the right Ohio Mutual plan for your needs. Start in the right place so you end up in the right place, where we've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call us at 888-375-4181.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
It's starting to get cooler. That means it's chili time, and Wayne Street Market has all you need for your special recipe. Most everything you'll need is all in one place, back by the meat counter. They have always saved tomato juice for just $1.45. Rotel diced tomatoes with green chilies is only $1.19 a can. Always save saltines are just $1.19 for the 1 pound box. And don't forget the cheese. All varieties of Yoder shredded cheese are just $1.79. You want to get their 80% lean ground chuck for just $3.49 a pound. Or if you're making a large batch, you can get their 10-pound roll for just $2.99 a pound. And for that large batch, the giant 6-pound can of kidney beans is only $8.99, and the 3-pound bag of yellow onions is $2.49. Everything you'll need for your family's favorite chili recipe is right there at Wayne Street Market. Great selection and great prices at Wayne Street Market, your fall food headquarters.
This past Saturday, October 19th, 2019, the Fort Recovery High School Marching Band had our first doubleheader since I've been working here. It went well. Our morning performance, we got third place. In our class, we got a 2. And in the evening performance, it was, I think, the best performance of our show that we've ever had. One of the best, if not the best, that Fort Recovery's ever had since I've been here. They played really well. I thought we should have qualified. We missed by 2 points. So it was kind of crushing that we didn't get it, but we did get second place, best percussion, and best auxiliary. There were a lot of good things to take. We still have one more shot to qualify this coming weekend at Turpin High School this Saturday, 3:30 p.m. So if anybody's in Cincinnati, my old stomping grounds, we'd love to have anybody that is interested to come watch us at Turpin, 3:30 this Saturday.
Let me know when we're on, Neil.
I pointed at you.
Oh, okay. We're back inside. Jack Stogler and four members of the four candidates for the Fort Recovery Board of Education. So, Mike and Jerry, let's kind of close with what is your definition? And Jerry, I'll let you go first. What is your definition of a great school system?
I think it's something that the kids can be proud of. I mean, 10 years down the road, they said, where'd you go to high school? And I want them to be proud to say they went to Fort Recovery, which I think our kids are. And that's, I just want to keep that going.
Yep. Excellent. Mike?
My definition would be, again, an A-rated district. At the same time, our kids, and we're pretty lucky in this area, to have a great work ethic and to have respect for each individual. And that's really been pushed over to, since I've been around the last 4 years with Above the Line program, and they're continuing that program. Larry Brown is continuing with Above the Line program, and it really taught the kids from... We're seeing it more now. It's starting to pay off because when you implement Above the Line, something like that, to the older ones, you really don't see a lot because they graduate before they get wrapped around it. But now, they started it in the grade school, and it's coming up through the system. The kids, you got to respect each other. And the education, our school system is definitely headed in the right direction.
Yeah. So I tell you what, let's and I think Jake may have brought it up. There's a lot of school districts the size of ours that when they have two or three empty board seats, they have to go and really beat the bushes to find people that are interested. And even the ones they get may not be interested, but they'll do it just because they feel guilty, Mm-hmm. And to have five high-quality people, we're very, very fortunate. And I think it says a lot about the current board. I think it says a lot about the community's interest in the school. So we're very blessed to be doing what we're doing right now. So let's have a few closing comments, Jerry, if you want to get us started.
I just want to thanks for having me, and we'll see what happens on November.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Mike? Yeah. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to interview me and speak my piece. I would like to very much appreciate, people voting for me. Pretty much everybody knows where I stand on a lot of things. I'm a type of person that I'm not going to tell you something just to because you want to hear it to keep you happy. I'm going to be honest with you, and if it upsets you, that's just the way it is. That's just how I feel.
So do you do that with your wife too?
Don't answer that.
Unfair question, Jack.
That's why I hesitated.
You are out of line. Yeah. You're not allowed to do that.
I just want to thank you for having me on tonight, Jack. Looking forward to the election. Looking forward to the future of the board as well as the future of the school district. Thank you.
Thank you. And Jake.
Yeah, Jack, I'd just like to close. Like you said, I mentioned when we were all fair that, you know, there's a lot of school districts around here that can't find board members to even run, let alone, you know, we currently have 5 running for 3 spots. And I think we're going to be in good shape. Doesn't matter who gets in there. You know, we have 5 great people here that have interest in it. And it's going to be a good experience for everybody. So I'd like to thank everybody, and I appreciate it.
Fantastic job tonight, guys. I appreciate you guys taking the time. We you went a little bit long, but I think Bubba and Fee's used to it.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're coming in about 10:15.
Yep, perfect. So, guys, thank you. I wish you guys luck on November 5th. Vote early, vote often.
I think you can vote once.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
So, for Jack Stogler and Neil.
I did jabber a little bit, yeah. so I guess I can be thrown in there.
Yeah, and 4 very appreciative school board candidates. This is Insight. We're off until next week.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.